spent a lot of time talking about the fight Saturday night in Vegas. What a crazy night that was. Unbelievable and astonishing performance by Tyson Fury. Joining us now is somebody who was right there to take it all in. He covers boxing and MMA for Yahoo Sports. He is a good friend of the program. He is Kevin Ioli. Kevin, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I am awesome, Jim. How are you doing today?
Great. Super, Kevin. Great to have you. Thanks so much for doing it. You know, if you and I were to go back to the build-up to the fight, in fact, you and I spoke before it, but when you looked at that first meeting, Kevin, what kind of a fight were you expecting to see Saturday night?
You know, a carbon copy of that with maybe a few small changes. You know, I did not think Fury was serious when he said he was going to go forward and back Wilder up. Now, that made a lot of sense, and I talked about that and I wrote about that last week, that the way you neutralize power is one of two things. You either box and move, which is what he did the first time, and create angles and that type of thing, or you try to back somebody up. And because boxers or power punchers are not able, Jim, to really do well when they're backing up. They're so used to being the person moving forward, trying to corner somebody, and then firing away. When they're forced to back up, they tend to not be as effective. So the strategy, that strategy made sense, but it was also risky because you're walking right into the guy's power. And so I know Fury said he was going to do that, and the hiring of Javon Sugarhill Stewart kind of suggested that might be the case. But I thought, you know what, he's going to do it a little bit, but more. He's going to do the moving and create angles because he's such a good boxer. But he executed that plan as well as I've ever seen a boxer in a big fight execute a game plan. It was magnificent.
It was magnificent is right. I want to go back to that point in a minute, Kevin. I have to admit myself, when he said that, I thought he was just doing what he does, you know, running off at the mouth, trying to sell some pay-per-views, trying to sell some tickets, maybe even trying to convince himself of something. But as you point out, Kevin, and I was talking about this before he came on, he knew exactly what he was doing. And it's one thing to think it, but quite another to go out there and execute it. Let me ask you this. What was the mood like in the arena when he came out sitting on the throne, wearing a crown and singing Crazy?
It was epic. I mean, the place went nuts. There was a lot of intensity. They had done Sweet Caroline before, and all the Fury fans sang it. And so the promoters did a wonderful job with the way they presented the show. I mean, the arena looked great. The fans were totally into it. And that entrance by Fury was spectacular. Wilder had a good entrance, too, but I heard that Wilder had an entrance that he wanted to do that was going to cost a lot of money, and it ended up getting vetoed. They thought it cost too much money. I didn't get details on what it was, other than it was pretty over the top. Wilder's was good, but Fury's was just absolutely epic.
Kevin Ioli is joining us. Kevin, back to the point about how Fury could have gone in there. He's the better boxer. We know this. What's it say about him then that he could have just done what he done in the first fight, maybe had a better result because he would have been in better shape, but instead he did change trainers. He completely reworked his strategy, and he came back with a performance like that. What's that tell you about Fury?
That is what I wrote my post-fight column about, and I said, I looked at Anthony Joshua, the other guy that has heavyweight title belts, and I said, this is why you want to watch Tyson Fury more than you want to watch Anthony Joshua. And Joshua is a great talent, no doubt about it, but when Joshua was in a similar situation coming back to fight Andy Ruiz, what did he do? He fought cautious, he fought tentative, he didn't, you know, and forget, you know, this is just personality difference, but he didn't do a great job, you know, promoting the fight. Fury did that. Fury said, you know what, I'm going to take a risk, and I might get knocked out by taking this risk, but I'm going to give the fans a show. I'm going to win definitively. I'm going to show that I believe in my skills. Joshua was afraid of Andy Ruiz. There's no question about it. An out-of-shape guy who was 20 or 30 pounds overweight. I think that that shows the difference between those two guys. Fury believes in his talent, believes in his ability, and knows, you know what, I am good enough to make this work. Joshua kind of doesn't have that same confidence in himself. And I'll tell you, if you only had money to buy a ticket to see one of the two of them, there's no question right now who the majority of people would rather watch.
No doubt. Kevin Ioli is my guest. Kevin, how do you explain a 6'9", 273-pound man moving the way Fury moves?
He is a rare athlete, but, you know, he comes from a fighting family, and he started young, and I think that's part of it. It's kind of like Floyd Mayweather. You know, Floyd Mayweather was 18 years old, and he had gloves on his hand. He was in the ring for the first time at 3, and I think that's a similar thing with Tyson Fury. His father was a fighter. Other people throughout his lineage had fought over the years, and he just grew up with boxing, and, you know, when you learn that early, that footwork, those movements, even when you become so big and so overwhelming where you think that he would be bumbling and stumbling around the ring, you're able to make those movements. And he understands boxing at such a high level, and he looks at it differently than anybody else. It's almost, to me, the comparison I would make, Jim, is the way Wayne Gretzky used to see the plays happening on the ice when he was in hockey. It was almost like Gretzky was watching from the press box, seeing people move. And I think Fury has that kind of sense of movement in the ring. He understands, if I do this, he's going to do that, and that's going to be the result. It's just brilliant, and I think it comes from a lifetime of being involved in the sport.
Really interesting. Like, Gretzky knew where the puck was going to be before it went there, so maybe Fury sees things before they happen. But let me ask you this. You can explain that like that, but how do you explain this? It was not that long ago, and you've written on this, that Fury was 400 pounds. He was abusing drugs and alcohol, battling depression. He had suicidal thoughts. How do you explain this dramatic a turnaround and this quickly?
It's almost impossible. I mean, that is so remarkable, and I think it's just a testament to the person that he is, and I think it should be a symbol to people who are suffering. I mean, hey, I think one of the reasons this fight caught on, hey, there are two great fighters who had contrasting styles and were exciting fighters. That's the main reason. But you know what? They also related to people on a human level, because both of them, I put a story out. I interviewed Deontay Wilder last month, and he admitted he had a gun in his hand, was thinking of committing suicide when he was 19 years old. Tyson Fury, you know, not only did he have suicidal thoughts, Jim, he was in a sports car going 150 kilometers an hour thinking of driving into the side of a bridge. So he actually was taking action, and then he said a voice spoke to him and said, don't do this. And so he put on the brakes and managed not to wreck his car and survive, and he sought help. And the fact that he got help from mental health professionals also is so good for other people, because it shows, you know what, there's help out there. Even when it seems like it's the worst, there's help out there. But it's a remarkable story that he's done, and I have no doubt that there will be books and movies written about this long into the future.
No doubt. Kevin Ioli, my guest. Kevin, what was your reaction when Jay Deese let the world know that Mark Breland was the guy who threw in the towel?
Well, I had two reactions. Number one, I was stunned that he would throw his longtime partner under the bus like that. And number two, I thought it was classless. Mark Breland absolutely made the right call. When you're hired as a fighter's trainer, these guys are warriors. They don't want to quit. They're going to keep going. They always believe in their ability. They hire you as the trainer to protect them. They need you to make the call that they don't want to make. And Deontay Wilder had no chance to win that fight at that point. And I think from the fifth round on, Jim, his legs were gone. You know, so if you don't have your legs as a boxer, you're not going to win. And he didn't have the power that he originally came into the ring with. And I think the fact that JD would throw Mark Breland under the bus like that was reprehensible. And I think he did it because he was just trying to kiss up to Deontay, because Deontay has the attitude, hey, I don't want you to stop my fights. But that's the trainer's job. I see my guy getting beaten on. He's taking right hands. He's taking left hooks. He cannot defend himself. He's going to have head trauma if this fight goes anymore. Mark Breland did 100% the right thing, and JD should be ashamed of himself.
Kevin Ioli with some strong comments. I agree. Mark Breland, first of all, if anybody would know, it's Mark Breland. He's been in that spot before. And number two, it's not a matter, Kevin, of him quitting. The guy showed compassion. He was looking out for his fighter. And to me, that was actually a courageous thing to do, because he had to know he was going to take heat, and he has.
Right.
So what do you make of now Deontay Wilder? You never really know how a fighter is going to respond to their first loss. So if you had to guess, how do you think Deontay responds to this?
I think Deontay's a winner, and I think Deontay is a true professional, and I think he'll come back strong. I think if his team does him a favor, they would advise him to turn down the rematch. He will get another rematch, fight with Tyson Fury, there's no doubt. But this immediate rematch, I think, would be a mistake. I think what he needs to do, Jim, is take, you know, 6 months off, no boxing, no promoting, just go out and relax and let his body heal, let his mind heal, and then get back into the gym. And I think that'll do a couple things. That'll open the way for potentially a Fury Joshua fight, which would then create an undisputed champion. And then number two, it would allow Wilder to kind of, you know, work on some things that he needs to work on and just get his body back to full health. Fighters often, after a fight like that, are never the same, and it's usually because they get back into the gym and they get back into the ring too quickly. If you let yourself heal, you'll be fine. That would be my advice to him. You know what? Don't rush back into this. You'll get him next year. You'll get him down the line, but right now the most important thing is your health.
Kevin Ioli, my guest. So, final thought. You shared your concerns about Joshua, but what about a potential Fury-Joshua fight? Just how big would that be?
I think you would be talking, if they put that in Las Vegas, and I think at Allegiant Stadium where the Raiders are going to play, you know, you're going to talk about 70,000 people being there. You know, 30, 40, 50,000 Brits would come over. I think that they could have a record gate at that stadium, or if not, certainly close to it. Mayweather-Pacquiao in 2015 had a $72 million gate, and I think that that would be certainly be threatened, if not broken. And from a pay-per-view standpoint, I think it would be massive. It would be a huge event around the world, and I think it's the absolute fight to make. It would be the Ali Frazier of this generation.
But Kevin, don't you wonder about Joshua, though? Like Fury, it's very clear that he loved the big stage. He's comfortable on the big stage. How do you think Joshua would deal with that promotion and the build-up and the lead-up to like the biggest thing ever?
You know, that's not his thing. Like, Fury's comfortable in front of the camera, and Joshua is not. But I also think what's happened is his team has done him a disservice. They haven't put him. I mean, he is a bright guy, and he has a lot to say. He's just not a comedian like Tyson Fury is. But he has a lot to offer, but I think his team just, you know, they protect him, and it's almost like, you know, they're afraid of losing their gigs, and so, you know, he doesn't like to do promotion, so they don't put him, force him to do it. But I think what needs to happen with some of these people is say, hey, you know what, it's only going to be in your best interest, and you're a smart guy who has a good story to tell. Let's set it up for you. I don't know that against Tyson Fury you're going to win the battle of words with him, but I think he could present himself in a very positive way. He's beloved by the Brits, but not so much by anybody else. And I think if the people got a chance to know the real Anthony Joshua and he would show that side of himself, you know, that would just help his brand going forward, not only in the U.K., but in the U.S. and around the world.
Kevin, to me, it's kind of like fighting Conor McGregor. You're not going to win the presser. You're not going to win the run-up to the fight. You're not going to win the promotional aspect of it, but you might win in the cage. You might win in the ring.
That's what you got to try to do, and you know, present yourself in a good way. That's what you have to do, and I think Anthony could do that. But my guess would be, you know what, he's going to just say, let Tyson do all the interviews, and I'm going to worry about training, and I don't think he'll put his best foot forward.
Kevin Ioli covers boxing and MMA for Yahoo Sports, and again, a good friend of the program. Kevin, thank you very much for that hit, and for all of them, it's good to have you back.
Anytime, Jim. Appreciate you having me. Thanks.
Great to have you, Kevin. Thank you. Well done. All right, so we've broken down that fight from every single angle. If you want to jump up in here, you want to do it right now because I've got two interviews coming up next hour.